The following message has been brought to you by Fairway Market. What's the buzz about honey? Well, those busy little bees are up to something, and it is delicious. The Fairway label honey is superb. Fairway only hires worker bees that are the best at what they do. This makes for a great tasting, high quality honey at an amazing value with the Fairway stamp of approval. And on top of being delicious, honey is a great substitute for other sweeteners and can even benefit your health. This includes better energy, respiratory improvements, and balanced blood sugar levels. It's a no-brainer. Get your Fairway honey today.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and my co-host, Andrew, my son Newman, is invisible today. I don't know where he is, but I'm here today with my producer and my engineer, Jack Inslee.
Hey.
Hi, Jack. Today, my show is taxes, time to pay so they can spend it, and we're going to talk about that, but first, we got to take care of some business. We broadcast live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. All shows are archived on the website, and all shows are available for podcasts. You can download free podcasts and listen anytime you want. You can call us during the show. We'd love to hear from you while we're broadcasting live. You can call us on 718-497-2128, or you can email. We can email, and Jack will read your emails, info@heritageradionetwork.com. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, Casper the Invisible Ghost has just made his guest appearance. Say hi, Drew. Thank you, Jack. Andrew needed that. And so we're going to talk today about taxes. Taxes, because this weekend, taxes are due. Filing season is upon us. We're going to pay taxes this weekend. I first want to let you know that the normal date of April 15th has been moved to April 18th this weekend. Andrew, you have any idea why?
None.
No. Most people don't. They
knew I needed a few more days.
Oh, Jack needs a couple days to muster up that money. So he's going to be busy this weekend working. I don't know what he's going to be doing, but he's going to go gather some dough somewhere.
I'm going to send some phishing emails out.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That's a good one after last week. So you could get a bite. Watch out. Watch your emails this week. So the reason why the tax deadline has been extended to April 18th is because in Washington, D.C., there's a holiday called Emancipation Day. And that was something to do with freeing the slaves. I don't know. It's a state holiday. It's not really a state. It's the D.C. holiday. I don't know what you call
it. It's a district.
Territory.
It's a district.
District. It's a district holiday. So because Emancipation Day is on, this doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to read what I heard. Emancipation Day is on April 16th. Oh, I know. April 16th. So they're celebrating the holiday on Friday, April 15th this year.
Don't they usually push those to Mondays?
Well, in this case, they did it on Friday. I don't know. I don't live in D.C., so I don't know the rules. And the same thing will happen again next year when Emancipation Day falls on Sunday. They're going to celebrate it on Monday, so your taxes will be due
Tuesday,
April 18th, I think. Okay, so now you have to pay your taxes. Time to pay your taxes. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about how they spend it. So the first thing you have to do is, if you don't have enough money, listen carefully. Some of my listeners out there, this might be important. I strongly recommend, and the IRS does too, to send your tax return in, even if you can't pay in full. There are two penalties assessed if you don't file your taxes with your balance due. The first penalty is late filing penalty. So if you don't file your tax return because you don't have the money, you're going to get a late filing penalty. And then you are going to also get a penalty for not paying your tax on time. So there's two penalties, right? So if you don't have the money, but you have the tax return all done, that save yourself the late filing penalty. It's 5% per month.
I have a question.
Sure.
So let's say I got a check coming in that Friday.
Friday after the tax deadline?
Right.
Yes.
How long does it take them to cash the
check? Oh, immediately. First of all, they want everybody
2 days,
to e-file.
Jack.
Really?
Really, really quick.
If you're mailing a check, Jack, you have at least 2 days in the mail and then probably an extra day for it to clear.
Absolutely not,
They'll
Jack.
Just do it right
Jack,
away.
Jack,
right. Jack.
Jack.
Trust me. You have 3 days. It's a 3-day turnaround time if you want to check on that day.
I would not give yourself 3 days.
You have three days, dude.
Nope. What I would tell you to do is file your return.
3 days.
File your return without the payment. Pay as much as you can. And then send the payment. Then within 45 days, they're going to send you a bill. And you can send the balance due in 45 days. So you'll save the 5% late payment penalty. The late filing penalty. And we'll have it backwards. Wait, I have it backwards. The late payment penalty is the 0.5% a month.
That's not what you just said.
The late filing penalty is 5% per month. That's why I was trying to correct myself.
What was that?
The late filing penalty. If you don't file, you get 5% per month for up to 25% penalty. So after 5 months, you've incurred a 25% penalty. The late payment penalty is 0.5% per month. So if you owe them $4,000 for a month, 0.5% of $4,000 is what, $20?
I don't know. It's a compounded annual. Is it an annual percentage?
No, 0.5% per month. So it's not a lot of money. So you really should, if you can, file the return without the full payment. If the payment is going to be too much where you're not going to be paid off in 45 days, you can also call the IRS when they send you that bill in 45 days and set up a payment plan. It's called an installment agreement, and you can pay them off monthly, but you still get charged the late filing and the late payment penalty. So it's not going to get you out of the penalties, but it's going to get them off of you for collection. Or you won't get the late payment, the late filing penalty if you send it without the payment and you set up an installment agreement. Okay, it's kind of confusing. And you always pay interest on everything.
You lost me 5 minutes ago.
Let me just recap this.
That'd be good.
If you don't have enough money to pay your bill, send your tax return in with as much as you can. You will avoid the late filing penalty, 5% per month up to 25%. You will pay late
payment
penalty 0.5% per month until you pay it off in full
on the balance that's left over,
and you pay interest on all of this, paying all the penalties. You always pay interest, and it changes every quarter. It's probably 7 or 8% interest. That's annual, so you can't get out of the interest, but you can help yourself with the penalties. Okay, so that's the story with that. If you happen to live in, you know, we do transmit around the world. If you happen to live in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, you have until May 11th, because those poor people were victims of a serious flood at the Housatonic River this past few weeks. And it's not uncommon for the IRS to give people in disaster areas extra time to file. So they have until May 11th. Okay. That's the story with filing taxes. So now you send in all your money. And the big question is, what do the government do with the money we send them in? You know, there's so much talk, and you might have seen last night President Obama was on the TV talking about what he's going to do about this budget deficit and the serious problems we're in. There's a lot of talk swirling around and numbers swirling around, and I've decided to look into it and see what the numbers are. The numbers, how much the deficit is, how much we spend. I don't really know what the deficit is. I'm going to tell you how much the budget is. The budget is out of control. The budget, the government spends $3.3 billion a year. That's billion, okay?
Nothing. No, that's $3.3 trillion.
No, $3.331 billion a year.
That's 3,000 billion. That's $3.3 trillion.
No.
That's 3,000 billion.
No, that's not trillion. That's billion. Otherwise, it would say 3.3 trillion.
No. It would say 3 billion. Joanne, are you really?
Oh, am I?
Do you really work with numbers?
That says billion right there.
Yeah, it's $3,331 billion.
Oh, there's no such thing as 3,000 billion.
No.
It's 3 trillion.
It should be 3 trillion. How do you have 3,000 billion?
I don't know.
That makes no sense.
I don't even deal with numbers that
large. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
I don't deal with numbers that big, okay?
I think it's $3.3 trillion.
All right.
Google says the 2012 budget, $3.7 trillion.
Thank you, Jack.
I assume.
Andrew's correct.
I think so.
Well, I'm really glad.
Really?
That
you think it's $3.3 billion? Like, honestly. Like, that's like a Fortune 500 company does that.
All right, Drew. Don't you love being right and me being wrong?
I'm always right.
No, you're not always right.
Always.
We'll see.
Always
I test you weekly, and sometimes you don't get things right.
That's because I want you to feel better about yourself.
Now we have $3.3 trillion. Although this article is clear, the billion couldn't be bigger. So, okay, $3.3 trillion. How do they spend it?
If they make it $3,000 billion, it makes it seem like a bigger number for people.
No, I don't get that. Okay. Discretionary spending, and then there's mandatory spending. Let's go through the two things. Discretionary. They have the right to cut these programs without affecting... they're not mandated to spend this money. They have a wiggle room. So the the discretionary spending. I'm a little discombobulated today. Maybe it's springtime. It's gotten to me. Maybe I should be outside.
I'd rather be outside.
Yeah.
Sitting next to you isn't so much fun.
Oh, are you coming here to just be nasty to me today?
I am happy. Jack, it's a pleasure to see you.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about discretionary spending. Discretionary spending, the defense budgets, the military budgets, the Veterans Affairs, Department of Homeland Security, state and NASA. Oh, no, not NASA. What is the NNSA? I know what the NSA is, but what's the NNSA?
I don't know. You don't know what the article.
I don't know.
How do I look like?
The National Nuclear Security Administration.
There you go,
Did
Jack.
They cut funding for that?
No, that's part of the security spending.
Good.
So, no, they didn't. No, this is just how our money gets spent. This is the budget for, I guess, last year, 2010.
Wait, we have a huge budget for nuclear defense?
I don't know.
Like, who has nuclear weapons anymore?
I think a lot of people.
Nuclear energy, I think. It's
about, oh, okay. Yeah.
Then the next non-security agencies are the Health and Human Services. Okay. There is the, there's quite a few here. And I've heard of a few of them. I don't really know what they do. Transportation, Treasury, Education, Housing, Justice, Agriculture, Energy, Labor, Interior. I wonder what the Interior do, Department of
it's
Interior.
Like Commerce and stuff like that.
I thought that was transportation.
No.
Then there's the Social Security Administration, and they don't mean Social Security payments. They just mean the agency itself and the EPA and others. Okay, so that's the discretionary spending. So that is not fixed. Then there's the mandatory spending, which is really twice the size as the discretionary. It's $2.1 trillion versus $1.2 trillion, even though the article says billion.
Gotcha.
I'm having a hard time with this.
I see this.
So Social Security is the biggest bite of the budget. Medicare, Medicaid, the TARP program.
What's that?
The TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, when they bailed out the banks.
Okay.
Which I'm confused why that's there, because according to what I've been reading lately, the TARP program made money. But I guess they have to spend money and then making money back from the banks. Other programs, income security. I don't know what that means. Income security. I don't know what kind of agency. Oh, those. I'm sorry. That's a total. So the rest of it are the income and the security agencies, work, unemployment, the earned income and child tax credits, family support, foster care, SSI, food stamps, and child nutrition.
Why don't they just get rid of the earned income credit and not tax those people?
They don't pay in tax. They get more money back than they pay in. That's why
that's
it's costing us.
That's another social program?
Yes. And then there's the other retirement programs, the federal civilian pensions, the veterans pensions, the military pensions.
I'm so tired of paying taxes.
Okay, so that's the story about how it goes. $3.3 trillion, 2.1 of it is going to Social Security, Medicare, and all those programs where we're mandated to send checks. And the other part are the discretionary, which is the security agencies.
And all of it does nothing for any of us.
Okay, so we're going to talk now about how...
the government works for us.
How?
Because I want to know...
Who pays?
Everyone pays. Well, apparently 50% of the country pays.
Ha ha.
That's what you said.
It's true. Wait till you see this. It's kind of...
And then the services provided to us... Oh. And the services provided to us are even less for those who actually pay taxes.
Who pays? The top 1% of the people over 500,000.
We got a caller.
Oh, we have a caller. They want to talk about some budget stuff? Hello.
Absolutely. It's very important to me that I talk about some budget stuff immediately, because I've been taxed, mentally taxed on this subject.
Nope.
Extremely mentally taxed on this subject.
Good. So let's hear what you have to say.
Well, I'm kind of just wondering, in general, if you could give me like a macro, ballpark it, if you have to, how much money do you think the government would make if they started taxing marijuana? In other words, if weed became legal. And they decided to tax.
You missed our show about that. You missed
our
show.
We did a show about a month ago on legalizing pot and other drugs and how that would relieve
what we say, deficit. $5 to $7 billion a year.
Oh, I don't remember.
$5 to $7 billion a year.
I think that's what we said. I think that's what we said at that point.
Yeah. I know.
And then there was also the prisons that wouldn't be filled up with prisoners for silly possession and other things like that, where it would just be a big windfall.
Well, yeah, the you know, the security, as far as the police departments could cut their budgets, and like you said, prisons, and a slew of other agencies.
Taxes would then be in, it's
collected,
just ridiculous.
And not just on pot, it could be on prostitution, more gambling.
Everything.
Yes. All those black market kind of places, yeah.
You know, and it's not that I'm an enemy of the police or anything like that. Right. You know, this year they laid off, like, I don't know how many New York police officers.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, the less cops that are on Second Street, the better.
That and every
right,
street,
guys.
Man. Take
Thanks.
Care.
I got to go.
Bye. Bye-bye. Well, okay, so that was an interesting, yeah, we talked about that weeks ago, how we could possibly.
I definitely concur. There are way too many people in jail for stupid possession.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And they just bogged down the legal system.
So we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about who's paying the taxes and how much they're paying, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do about this. A revolt?
Everywhere is freaks and heroes, dykes and fairies. Tell me where is sanity? Tax the rich, feed the poor. Tell there are no rich no more.
The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Sunday at 4:30 p.m., tune in to Burning Down the House. Architecture is the laser focus of Burning Down the House, a weekly discourse on all things built, destroyed, admired, and despised. Each week, Curtis B. Wayne, your host, invites a posse of authors, critics, builders, designers, and other architecture fiends to reflect on various topics related to perhaps the most functional of all art forms. Again, that's every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Flash is talking taxes today. How is our money spent? Who's paying it? So we're going to...
Stupidly and inefficiently.
Well, that's for sure. They do spend it stupidly and inefficiently. But now I want to tell you, the top 1% of the people making over $500,000, they pay 40% of the tax bill, the total tax bill. The next 2% of the people making between $200,000 and $500,000 a year, they pay 20% of the tax bill.
So it's 60%.
Okay.
And now, 3% of the population.
Right. And now the people between $100,000 and $200,000, they're paying another 10%.
So you're up to 70.
70% of the people, or 70% of the taxes.
Do you have a song or something for us, Jack?
Are being
that was
paid.
Confusing.
70% of the taxes are being paid by the top. What is that? About 5% of people?
I don't know where the 100 to 200,000.
Well, 3.5 and 5.5 and 6, 7%, 7.5% of the top wage earners pay 70% of the taxes. So, you know.
Well, you said 50% of the country doesn't even pay
well,
taxes.
That's true. 46.7% of the people don't pay taxes.
That's nice.
Freaking ridiculous.
Isn't that outrageous?
Nice.
And then, how much of this program was for earned income credits and Medicaid, Medicare? All these other crap,
right.
That social welfare programs.
Okay, well, we can't turn our back on these people.
I'm not turning my
but
back, but there's
the
other
programs,
ways we can cut
some
money.
Of the programs.
Legalizing marijuana is one significant way.
Yeah, that's we've talked about that before. It's not a bad idea. Okay, so Obama got on TV last night, and finally, we saw the Obama that we've been waiting to see since before he was elected. He got up and he finally said, "Look, we're not going to do it your way. We're going to do this the right way. We're going to do some tax cuts. The wealthy people are going to pay more taxes, and we're going to cut some programs, and it's going to affect all of us, and we're all going to do this together, and we're not going to play favorites to any special groups." Finally, he laid out a plan. Hopefully, you know, it can be implemented and can be carried out, and over the next few years, we're going to have to suck it up and pay more.
Ooh,
and get less. We're all going to have to pay more and get less. Okay? That's the bottom
sure.
line. So the president
I'm like the lowest tax bracket there is.
That would be that we're giving you money.
Can I? I should be getting money.
Well, that's an earned income credit.
I should be getting some.
Go have a few kids. And
I'm about ready to have some kids just so I can get some money back. This is ridiculous.
Okay, so.
I agree.
So,
right, Jack? Power to the people who make less than 100 grand, apparently.
Listen, don't want kids.
You don't, but it's a good tax write-off.
Listen, you guys, did you see in the paper today, very sad about that woman who drove her car into the Hudson River with her four kids in the car?
Did not.
Yeah, so let's not talk about people who don't want kids, okay? It's very sad.
Well, that's not what Jack and I are saying here. You're really misinterpreting everything.
Okay, can we now go to our email bag? Because we're not talking about these taxes anymore. It's kind of discouraging, but we're going to hope that things are going to get better from now on. How's that?
Yes.
All right.
We have an email about Jack, and it's not me. Different Jack.
Yeah, because he's got a kid, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jack's son is a college student and a hypochondriac, and it's Jack's dependent, and he wants to know if he can claim these medical expenses.
Oh, if his kid can claim the medical expenses.
No, the
kid wants to claim
them. Yeah, the kid wants to claim them.
But he's a dependent. He can't claim anything.
Well, that's the answer. Jack already did his tax return, and he said, well, his kid's going to file his own tax return because he works a part-time job. Should he claim his own medical expenses?
No, he can't.
He can't. So the parent has to take him because he's the dependent. And I'm sure that the parents paid the medical expenses anyway.
And I'm sure the parents can't even get the deduction for it.
Nah, that's the problem. That's why they didn't take it on their return. And they said, okay, you take it yourself. And then they went to go fill out the tax form. And they said, wait, it doesn't look like I could take it on my own return.
Why not just let the kid take the thing and...
It's probably not worth it. So generally, no. Who's the dependent and who pays for it is the one who gets the deduction. Okay? So Jack, sorry, your kid. Tell him to stay out of the emergency room. Find another place to hang out every night. All right, we got a Andrew and the Law today.
Switching up the theme song.
Jack, I like my other song so much better, bro. We better close with that one again.
All right, well, this one's a good one here, boys. This is a very...
I hate that song.
All right, Jack, you got the message.
I hate that song, Jack. Jack, do not play that song for me again.
All right. Can we please talk about what I'm talking about here? Do you know that there's this is going on right now. There's a mobster, Joseph Massino.
Head of the Bonanno crime family, right?
Right. Who's now...
snitching?
He's telling rat.
How do you turn rat on the people who work for you? I don't get that.
Well, listen...
Thank you, Jack.
We can talk over this one.
You better be careful what you say, because these people are still out there. Okay? So this guy... Mr. Massino, he was tried 7 years ago, and he was convicted, found guilty of 7 murders, and that put him behind bars for life. And on his way out of the courtroom 7 years ago, he said to the guy walking him out, he says, "I want to speak to the FBI agents and the prosecutor." And since then, he's been spilling the beans about how the family is run and what he did in the family.
This reminds me of that new show on VH1 where these mobster wives are walking down the street and they're like, "You don't rat. You don't turn your back on the family." All this other
stuff.
Well,
that has nothing to do with money. This is about money.
Well, it just reminds me of the mobster. And you don't snitch.
Don't snitch.
All right. Well, that was the motto forever. But now they all spill the beans. Okay? So 7 years ago, he started talking. And now he's up on charges again for another murder.
In prison?
He's up on you.
Wait, he murdered someone in prison? Or
no,
is this,
no, 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 no.
It's
they
another
didn't,
murder
they
that they didn't get him for before.
They didn't try him on the seventh or this eighth murder. So now he's up on charges for this another. And the point of this whole piece is, why are we trying this guy? The guy is in for life. He's got 7 murders, right? So the man on trial is already serving a life sentence without parole and is accused of murdering another guy. Win or lose.
Wait, so this guy turned rat for no reason if he's still in jail?
Yeah. He's in jail for life. He just decided to spill the beans.
Why?
You'd have to ask him. I don't know. All I'm telling you
is weird.
This is the point of this. When this trial is over, he'll be sent to federal super maximum security prison in Colorado. And, you know, he is going to spend the rest of his life in jail just as before he spilled the beans and before he's going to try on this.
So what's the difference?
The whole gist of this is this trial could end up costing.
It's going to cost millions of dollars.
$10 million.
Oh my God.
Because
the legal system's so screwed up.
Because the Justice Department will ask for the death penalty if he's convicted.
Who cares? How old is the guy?
This will send the price tag soaring.
Boo.
Before one syllable was heard from the first witness, the judge had approved payments for the defense approaching $4 million. It is likely that similar costs could be attributed to the prosecutors and witnesses and jurors and the police and the courthouses and the FBI agents and the U.S. attorneys. This is what I'm talking about. This is ridiculous. $10 million for a guy who's serving life in prison, and now the government has to
Just kill him. Why not just send in a cop or something and take care of the job?
Well, I don't think we should kill him, but I don't think...
I'm saying, but what's the point of this?
What is the point of it? I don't understand. To bring justice to a dead man there who's serving life?
There should be an under-the-table deal for another prisoner to kill this guy and get out 2 years
later. Forget that. Now, listen to me. Speaking of prisons, while I was doing my research for today's show, do you know one of the hottest, best businesses you could go into in
prisons.
The 21st
privatized,
century? Privatized prison business. They are making tons of money.
You get paid by the prisoner, so you just pack them in.
Correct. And so they're making them. I'm sure they serve them gobbly gosh for food, and they have the price to secure a prisoner every day is a few bucks, and they bill the state or the feds quite a few dollars, and they make a nice tidy profit. And so this is one of the hottest businesses to go into in the 21st century. This is why we have humongous deficits.
This is also why we have huge prisons populations.
Well, I'm really talking about the deficit. It's a very sad thing that this one little case, one little case.
It goes hand in hand.
Maybe it's not a little case. Maybe it's a big case.
But what's the point of that case?
But $10 million this year, when we are struggling and everybody's struggling to close the deficit, the government needs to get a better handle.
Their head out of their ass.
Better handle on their expenses and how to spend money.
Well, you have people who don't know how to run a business running like the biggest business.
Right.
In the world.
That's
why would you do that? You have a bunch of legal people running businesses. That's what we're doing right now. And it just makes no sense.
Yeah, no, you're generally bureaucrats are not good business people. Generally, lawyers are not very good business people. And this decision to do this case and run up these kind of costs needs to be contained. And these are the kinds of things, they're only small little drops in the big bucket, but I think if we do this a million times a day, and I think it's possible for a million times a day to find waste, that we can start to function at a higher and a better, more efficient level. So that's what I wanted to talk about, how, okay, we all have to pay our fair share, and we don't mind paying our fair share if it's being spent properly, but when it's being pissed away, and it's just making me mad, and I think that we can all do a better job. Everybody, the job that you're assigned has to, you have to apply common sense sometimes. And one size doesn't fit all.
Well, the thing is, these people need to get paid for their work. If they don't have work, they don't get paid. So if a lawyer needs to do work, more people get arrested.
He's going
to
generate.
Cops need to get overtime. More people get arrested. And then the system gets bigger. And then, everyone wants to make money. The lawyer probably gets paid overtime for all this extra work.
Should we privatize some more agencies in the government?
No.
The prisons are privatized in many places.
But that doesn't make it more efficient. No.
No.
It's the laws that are the problem.
The laws.
Our legal system is the problem.
Well,
our legal system is too in-depth and arresting too many people for stupid things that it's just. And then, stupid stuff like this on top of it, it's just retarded. It makes no sense. It's not an efficient system, and it's just, it's inefficient. The whole government is inefficient.
So,
do you not agree with that?
Well, I agree that the government's inefficient, and not just in the legal part of it. I think in all areas.
It's all legal.
No, in all areas, I think that they spend money foolishly.
The whole government is a legal system.
No, I don't see the whole government as a legal system. I see it as many different components of it.
How does the government operate? They create laws and regulations.
Yeah.
So that would be legal.
Yeah, that part, yes. But then when they give money to programs, when you send over to the Social Security Administration, there's nothing.
There's
legal.
A law that says they have to do that.
Correct. That the law says they have to pay them. Correct. But then when implementing the program is not a legal matter.
You have lawyers setting up things, and then they tell people how much money they're going
to
make.
Well, we do need laws in the land. You have to have laws. Those are guidelines for the civilization to run and operate. But I just think that, there's... Oh, and here's one other thing. This is my little pet peeve. This one is a little bit, because I could think of one giant way to save money in the Social Security Administration. Let me tell you something.
Cut out Medicare.
Nope. This is a simple one.
Let them pay for themselves.
Can I please say,
just let them pay their own health insurance.
Can I please say what I want to say? Can you give me 1 minute?
Go ahead, talk.
When a parent dies and they have young children under the age of 16, Social Security will send checks to that child and the surviving spouse, if the surviving spouse doesn't work, until the child reaches the age of 16, and support that child because the parent died, you know, if it's the father or the mother, based upon the earnings of the deceased parent. Well, I think that's outrageous, and I'll tell you why I think it's outrageous. First of all, if somebody dies, that's like a life insurance policy. The government's paying life insurance policy. Frankly, you should get your own life insurance policy if you have kids or family. Secondarily, if a parent doesn't die but becomes an absent parent, you know, deadbeat dad or deadbeat mom, and the remaining parent is raising that kid on the one salary or no salary, the government doesn't send you a check each month for that to support you and the kid. You could go on welfare, but the point is you don't automatically qualify for this giveaway program just because
I guess they're going with the fact that that person paid in for Social Security, so the kids get their Social Security.
Yeah, but that's, you ought to get a life insurance policy. Too many people are getting Social Security. Yeah. Set up to help people, to give people who retired from work.
They make that age like 75 or 80.
And now it's become a giveaway program.
It's retarded.
It's become a SSI for people who are disabled, people who are survivors of deceased people. I mean, it's just a program that doesn't work. It's too bloated. It has to be cut back. And that's my little pet peeve. Okay, we're going to say goodbye this week. And we'll be back in a few more weeks because I think I'm going to be off next week. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Whole Foods Market celebrates Earth Month with the Do Something Real Film Festival, a collection of 6 provocative, character-driven films focused on food, environmental issues, and everyday people with a greater vision. Come see one of the 6 features at City Cinemas Village East from Saturday, April 16th through Thursday, April 21st, every night at 6 p.m. Learn more about the films and special events at www.dosomethingreal.com. That's www.dosomethingreal.com. Sponsored by Whole Foods Market.